This is Cynthia Ganoff, and you are listening to the Mesmerized Podcast. Hey guys, welcome to Mesmerized. I am so glad you're here. Okay, first things first. Do you guys play Mahjong? I just need to know right now, are you playing Mahjong? You know, it's a tile game. It's so much fun. I know that my Dallas girls are playing, and I think Texas girls for sure, and probably in the South. But like, what about like my friend that DMs me that flies planes in Alaska? All you guys that are in other states, are you playing? If not, I need you to be playing. It's so much fun, and it makes you use your brain, and it's such a great excuse to get together. In fact, my friend, shout out Sherry, she always has these fun little Mahjong parties and they're thematic, if you will. So like next week, she's having one that's like Love Boat themed. Can you even stand it? That's so fun. I don't even like to dress up and I think it's fun. Anyway, Mahjong is such a great time and it's a great opportunity to get together with friends and visit. And so if you're not playing Mahjong, if you don't know what I'm talking about, maybe I need to fly to your city and teach you how, although I'm not that great of a teacher, but I want you to play Mahjong. So that's my first thing. I'm going to need some input on this, some feedback on if we're playing Mahjong around the country. All right, number two. I obviously struck a chord with so many of you last week in the intro when I talked about the fun and the hard of summer over here and how fun it is to have college kids around. And we're watching The Chosen and it's two fish Tuesday, or is it two loaves? See, I can't remember. Isn't that sad? And as I'm taping this, it is Tuesday and everyone's coming over tonight and I printed out discussion questions. Listen, a moment of silence for the fact that I have discussion questions and not one college kid sees this coming, but we're having a lot of fun doing it with the kids. And you can do this, you guys, with like high school, junior high. It doesn't have to be The Chosen, but just feed them and they will come. That is what I'm figuring out. And so that's been super fun. But I also think what struck a nerve with y'all, or a chord with y'all, if you will, was me talking about JB's friend moving and how hard it is. And kids' friendships are so hard. And many of you have reached out and either empathized with me or just kind of told me the story of what you're walking through. And I just want you to know, I hear you. I feel it deeply with you. And I want to reiterate, like, if things are going well with your kiddos and they have great friends, that is amazing. Look around, be observant. Where can you help fill some gaps for some other families with kiddos that are struggling? And if you are walking through a time with a kid that struggles, I want you to know I'm with you. I've done this with three kids at different times, different places in their lives where it's been hard. And on the other side of the hard are some really great life lessons and some empathy that's built into them and some kindness. And some of the best moments that have been learning moments in our family have been the times when my kids were not invited to something. And so just, I want you to know, I know it's hard. My friend Stephanie, I say this all the time, but she told me one of the hardest things you'll ever do in parenting is forgive the kid that hurt your kiddo. And it is truth. And so there you go, you guys, I'm with you on that. That's number two. I don't know why I'm numbering this. No idea why I'm numbering them out, but here's number three. Can we talk about how people ask me all the time, you know, who are you dying to interview, or, you know, who do you lose your mind over if you get to interview or whatever? Well, like y'all know, I have a Jenna Bush Hagar thing. I'd love to interview her, but I'm obsessed with the Gaines, right? Joanna Gaines. They went to Baylor around the same time I was there. They live in Waco. It's only like an hour and a half from where I live. Listen, we should be friends. And before it is all said and done, I'm going to do something with them. I'm either going to get to interview them or I'm going to work for them. I mean, I can do that. It's not that far. And I'm going to do some project. No, it's not interior design, but something fun with them. Anyway, I just need you to know, I have this, like, you know, Joanna Gaines obsession. I love them. I think they're amazing and funny. And anyway, so I posted something on my social because you guys asked that question. And so it was on my social, who would you want to have dinner with? And they were, Chip and Joanna were some of the people that I mentioned. And can I tell you something about Chip and Joanna Gaines? Joanna Gaines liked my post. Yes, my social media girl who's precious, she tagged them and Joanna Gaines liked it. And I think this is it. Like, this is the summit. I'm done. No more. I don't need to have another day podcasting because she liked my post. No, I'll be back. But how about that, you guys? So I'm just planting that seed and telling you, I love Chip and Joanna, JoJo. I mean, a big fan, and somebody out there knows them is going to like make that connection someday. I believe it. Okay. And then here's my last thing. You guys have been so cute to reach out. Y'all send me emails. You help me with books that I should use to help teach my little one to read. You help me with college stuff. You're the best. And you ask frequently, how can I pray for you? And so I'm going to give you something just globally that y'all can pray for. All of you can pray for. I was asked to speak somewhere coming up pretty soon, and I cannot decide if it's a yes or no. It just feels big. And I won't want to go into details other than just to say, I would love for you to pray for me the next 12 hours, 18 hours, if you're hearing this as we're releasing it. Just pray the Lord will make it so abundantly clear if this is a door he's opened for me, and that I'll have the confidence to walk through that. Or if it's not, if the reservations are telling me that this isn't the time for that, and to wait, that's okay too. So that's how you can pray for me. I hear all the time from you guys or other people that meet you guys that are like, oh, you have a bestie that lives in whatever city or whatever. And so if I have all these besties out there, then yeah, will you pray for me on that issue? That would be just so, so awesome. And then I want you to know that I want to pray for you, and I have really awesome friends that will pray for you too. So if there's something going on, which there is for all of us, you can email me through my website. You can DM me, whatever it is, but feel free to always just shoot me a note and I will try to respond and let you know where I am and how I will be praying for you, all the things. So, all right, you guys, today we have Crystal Payne with us, and I love Crystal Payne, and she's talking about money and how do we save money. We've been making fun of my mom because every time she goes to the grocery store, she's like, you can't get out of the grocery store anymore for less than $50. I'm like, $150, it feels like, with all these kids. Crystal Payne is going to talk to us about how do we get our budgeting back on the rails. How do we save some money? And she is the money saving mom. That's her brand. So you can check it all out. I'm so thrilled she's here. Here we go with Crystal Payne. Hey, Crystal, welcome to Mesmerized. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I am excited to be here.
Well, it's super fun. And here's the behind the scenes with me and Crystal, everyone. I interviewed Crystal one time on my old podcast, in your house in Nashville, outside Nashville. And funny enough, I'm trying to remember and get this right, but if I recall, you were about to start foster care, and that was like before foster care, a pregnancy, an adoption. Like, remind us, like, what was the last 5 years have been really something over there.
Yes, we brought home 4 babies in 2.5 years, 2 that I birthed and 2 that we brought in through foster care. We ended up adopting one. And the funny thing is, as we're recording right now, upstairs, we actually have 4 little children, because the little boy that we fostered for 8.5 months, we also help with childcare. And so he's here today. So we have a 4-year-old, a just brand new turned 4-year-old. Like, today is my biological daughter's birthday. And then we have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old here all upstairs. So if you hear any noises, is just real life happening here. So
real life. Yes. Well, it was so fun. And then I was back in Nashville, and I'm trying to think if I interviewed you again, but I was on your podcast. Anyway, long story short, we've overlapped a lot, and it's super fun to have you now on Mesmerized. So thanks for doing this. And I know, like, your life is crazy. If you guys aren't following her, you need to be following Money Saving Mom, because you can kind of see a day in the life. And I think it's so interesting. I'm like, girl, I don't know how you do it all, but you do. It's incredible.
The grace of God. And there are a lot of things that I'm just okay with, like having a really low standard, because we also have these 3 teenagers. Actually, our oldest daughter, she is almost 20. So I can't say that she's a teenager anymore. And so it's like next year, so starting in the fall, we're going to have 2 in college and 2 in preschool. And I'm just like,
oh my God.
You just do it. You just wake up every day and you're like, God, give me the grace for what I need to do today. And I'm going to trust you, and you are going to be faithful.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's why you and I gel so well, because I have one that's about to turn 21. So, but I don't have the volume that you have, but I do have that gap. And so, the college and then the high school and then the first grader and, all the things. So anyway, I love you, and I've talked about a lot of things, but I don't think we've actually talked about one of the main things you do, which is talk about money saving. Like, how do we do that well? And so as I was going through this series, I'm like, we need to talk about this, especially in light of how expensive life feels right now for all of us. And so when I texted you, you were sweet to say, yeah, I'm in. And so I believe the exact question that we're going to talk about, the things you're going to hit on, is 5 things I need to know about saving money. And I'm like, yeah, I'm in. How do I save money? So kick us off with 1.
Yes. Okay. So this is one that I talk about a lot. And that is, your income is not the biggest issue. Your mindset is. I hear from so many people who they're like, we're just in a bad financial place and there's nothing we can do. And if you have that mindset of like, we're just stuck, we live in a high cost of living area, or we have 5 teenage boys, or, we just don't have any time to even invest in saving money, then you probably aren't. But I really challenge people to stop saying, I can't do that, and instead say, what can I do? So it's going to look different for another family who is in a different situation, but you can do something. There's always something that you can do. So your income is not the problem. Your mindset is. And when you start from that mindset of a can-do, committed, creative attitude, it is amazing what you can do.
Yeah. Okay. And so, and I love that. I think that's such an encouragement for all of us. Where did you get the mindset flip? Like, did you grow up in a home with a family that was conscientious in this way that kind of fed this into you? Or did it come from a place of desperation, of financial trouble in your own life? Or what, how did you get to this point as someone's listening? Like, how do I start working towards the mindset?
So I was really blessed to be raised in a family where my parents were very wise financially. In fact, I think I was 7 years old. They paid off their house and then they saved and saved and saved. We lived very simply. And then they sold their house. We moved into a construction trailer on this piece of land. And then my dad was a general contractor and they built a house debt free. And I got to see them make a lot of sacrifices, work really, really hard, and then see the fruit of that. And it also challenged me that so often we get stuck in this box of you have to go into debt for college, for a car, for a house, for sure. Like, you cannot live debt-free, at least when it comes to these big things. And they kind of busted through that and showed me that there are creative ways. And I'm not saying that everyone is going to be in a similar situation, but I was really just blessed to have that foundation. So going into marriage, my husband and I said, we are going to try to stay out of debt for all of our entire lives. And so my husband was getting ready. He was an undergrad and he was getting ready to go to law school. And, you know, everybody's like, you cannot go to law school debt-free. Well, guess what? If you go in state and you work really hard and get good scholarships and you work really hard and live at home before you're married and save money, there are ways to do it. And so when he graduated without debt, we said, okay, how about we set this huge audacious goal that we're going to buy a house without debt? And at that time, it just felt like impossible, but we just were like, we're just going to try. And so we set this goal for 5 years. We lived on way less than we made. And we were just super, super careful. And then we also got really creative thinking outside the box with ways to earn more income. That's when MoneySavingMom.com started. And we actually were able to pay cash for our first house. And so I'm not saying again that this is for everybody, but I just really challenge people to stop getting stuck in that mindset that this is the only way, that you have to have all of these payments. Because if you challenge yourself to think outside the box, there are so many creative ways to do things for a lot less. And maybe it's going to mean a lot of sacrifices, but I can tell you the freedom that we have, the freedom that I saw my parents have to be able to give generously, the freedom that it provided in their marriage to not have this tension around finances. I was like, I want that. And so we just really want to stand on our parents' shoulders so that our kids can stand on our shoulders and take it even further.
Wow. Wow. That's an incredible story and an incredible legacy too. So I love that. Okay. Give us number two.
So secondly, your grocery budget is the best place to start saving money. So many people, they're like, I don't even know where to start. Like, I'm in over my head. The thought of getting on a budget is so overwhelming to me. I want to change my finances, but I just can't overhaul my life overnight. I recommend you start with your grocery budget because everybody has to eat. Everybody is probably going to go to the grocery store. I mean, if you're only going out to eat, you probably could make that change and you're going to start saving a lot of money just by going to the grocery store more. But starting with your grocery budget, and I challenge people, if you don't have any clue like how much money you're spending, then I'm going to give you a ballpark figure. So let's say that you're going to shoot to spend $50 per person per week. Now, if there's only one person in your household, that's going to be different. If you have a few more people, it kind of helps because it gives you a little bit more wiggle room to work with. But start with $50 per person per week. If that feels completely like I can't do that, there's no way, well, then pick 60 or 70, but pick a number. And then that is your grocery budget. And then I want to challenge you, stick with that for a few months. And once you start feeling like, I got this, like we can do this, then start shaving off 1-3% every single month. Now, it's not cool and fun because you can't be like, I saved 40% of my grocery budget. You know, I cut my grocery bill by 50% this month. But here's the thing, slow and steady is usually so much more successful over the long haul than if you try to make these massive changes overnight. And so if you little bit by little bit by little bit by little bit start shaving it down over the course of 12 months, that's going to be significant savings. And then that's going to give you the motivation and excitement. Like, I can do this. We're actually sticking with the grocery budget. What if we were to start applying what we're learning to other areas in life? And I also recommend for people who are like, there's no way I can stick with the grocery budget. Like, I cannot do a grocery budget. Well, I have a surefire way that you can. And that is, if you only bring cash to the grocery store, you literally pull out the cash that you have for your grocery budget, go to the bank and get that cash. You can't go over your budget. It's instant budgeting, because if you leave your credit card, your checkbook, all the other ways that you could pay, I mean, now I know they have Apple Pay and you have your phone, but if you leave it all at home, then you can't go over budget. It really challenges you. Like, as I put things in my cart, I also add them to a running list, a running total, so I know exactly how much I'm spending. So when I get up to checkout, I'm not like, oh, wow, $250? I had no idea I was spending that much. I know exactly how much I'm spending, so it helps me. Maybe I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to be able to buy this week because it's not in the budget. And it's just so good to help you to learn that skill and that discipline and that practice of sticking with the budget.
Yeah. And I think we're all probably in different places on this. Like, I'm thinking about our budget, and the ways that I blow our budget on groceries is that I'm not great at meal planning. Like, you know, like I have those friends, I'm sure you're one of these, Crystal, that like has, they know on Sunday what they need for the week. They make their list or whatever. I'm the ding dong that walks in the grocery store. I'm like, well, And I mean, throw in some spaghetti and, you know, some taco meat, and maybe we'll eat this. And I don't know, do we have chips? I can't remember. Like black beans. Like, I have created a black bean library and sanctuary in this home because I'm always like, I wonder if we have any black beans. And then I look in there, I'm like, we have 72 cans of black beans. Nobody really loves black beans over here, by the way. I don't know why we have so much, but it's interesting because I don't plan ahead. And then I was just talking to some girlfriends yesterday, and we were talking about how our pantries are a mess. And this house that we live in now has a really, really large pantry, which is a problem because you just put more and more stuff, like junk, like in it, right? But it is like the land of broken toys. Like, when I go to clean it out, I mean, I'm throwing out trash bags of like, we ate, you know, two hamburger buns of the pack, and there's three bags of chips that were half opened and eaten. And you know what I'm saying? And so for some of us, it feels like maybe if we get a little more organized, that's a good start. But then speak to this for those that maybe are like, well, I'm three steps ahead of that. Like, what is the equivalent of like coupon cutting today? Like, what is that person that's the next level? What do they need to be doing?
Yes. Okay. So two things I'll say. First off, if you're like, I don't want to plan a menu, I know we need a menu, it would be so much easier if we had one, but the thought of doing that is so much work. Well, I have 10 weeks of money saving menus, a product that you can buy. It's, I will give it to you for $9. For those of you who are listening to the podcast, use coupon code podcast. You can just, I can give you the link and you can get it. But 10 weeks of money saving menus. And these are some of our family's favorite recipes, tried and true over the years. And we have a completely done for you grocery list for each of them. And we've heard from so many people are saying, oh my goodness, I am saving so much money and so much time by doing this. So that's a resource for you there. But then the people who are like, you know what, I do the menu planning, I don't need help with that, but I really just want to cut my grocery budget. I would say to start with really looking at what you are making, and are the meals that you're making things that use inexpensive ingredients? And so I plan my menu based upon what is on sale at the store and what I have on hand, just what you were saying there. So I actually kind of do what I call reverse meal planning. And so I look at what's in our pantry, I look at what's in our freezer, I look at what we have on hand, and then I say, what pieces do we already have to make meals? Then I look at what's on sale at the store to kind of fill in those pieces. And by doing that, it saves us so much money, and there's a lot less waste, and also it keeps you more organized because you're just using what you have. And then kind of next level beyond that is that then I buy ahead as well. So if when I'm looking at the sale flyer, usually what's on the the front of the sale flyer is kind of what's called loss leaders. They're the best deals to get you into the store. And then they, you know, aren't making money off of them. So I stock up. So let's say that we use a lot of chicken. So let's say chicken is on kind of the best sale that it goes on. There's sales cycles every 12 weeks. And so usually every 6 to 12 weeks, something's going to go on the lowest price. So my aim is always to buy it when it's on the lowest price and stock up for enough for at least the next few weeks, if not to tide us through the next sale. So then basically I'm never paying full price for almost anything. And then when I go to plan my menu, I have so much to work with already that I've stocked up on. Now, for people who are like, have never planned a menu or are already overwhelmed, do not do that because you're just going to end up buying all this stuff and not using it. Yeah, so start with a budget and start with a menu plan. But once you've gotten that, really taking it to the next level by planning what you have on hand and what's on sale at the store and buying ahead can save you so much money.
Woo. It sounds like we're having black bean stew over here for the next 6 months. It's fine, Crystal. Everyone will be thrilled to have that this summer in Texas. Okay, that is such good advice. One quick question on that. And this is like somebody's thinking it and I'm going to be dumb enough to ask it. Where does one get the flyer at the grocery store now? Do you just pick it up when you're there or does it come out online or what's the deal?
Most all stores, you're going to get it online. And you know what? Here's another great tip. And that is a lot of stores, they have pickup now. So you can order your groceries online and pick them up. And so then you're not tempted when you're in store to buy all these extra things like, oh, we need that. Oh, we need that. The other thing that I love is you know exactly how much you're going to spend. Because it's giving you a running total when you go to checkout online. And then we have Kroger and you can use digital coupons. You can get all the great deals right through using pickup or delivery as well. They have a $39 deal this year. So I get groceries delivered to my door for $39 a year. Plus I get double fuel points. It's a whole thing. But there are a lot of options like that. And so I love that it can tell you exactly how much you're going to spend. And then you, at least with ours, you have like 24 hours usually because it doesn't come, your order doesn't come till the next day. So if you're thinking, oh my goodness, I forgot to put milk on the list or I forgot whatever, because usually that's kind of what happens. You go to the store and you get home and you remember, you know, you forgot to buy five things. You can add it right there and get it still in your pickup order.
Woo, that's good. So good. Okay. Your grocery budget is the best place to start saving money. That was number two. What's number three?
Who you surround yourself with matters. This is something that when my husband was in law school, we really discovered. And that was that so many people who were in law school were kind of living the lawyer life already. And you can probably relate to this. So, you know, just like it's the thing of like, oh, I'm going to be making so much money. So therefore, I'm going to go ahead and start living like I'm going to live because I'm going to be an attorney. And we realized how it was so easy for it to kind of rub off on us or for us to just feel less than because it was like we were over here eating beans and rice literally and they're going out to eat all the time. And so who you surround yourself really with really matters. And so find those people in your life who are also trying to live on a budget, who are money conscious, who are being careful with how they're spending, who are thinking intentionally, and you're going to find that it really rubs off on you. And also you're going to have a lot more fun going on dates with them because they're going to be the ones that are be like, there's a free concert in the park. Let's bring our picnic and go to it. You know, so they're not going to encourage you to need the latest and greatest. They're going to celebrate when you find that great deal at the thrift store, at the grocery store, online. They're going to be the ones that are going to encourage you with other ideas for saving money.
That's a good word. And I think it's so important also that whole comparison factor when it comes to money is a big one. I think we've all lived around it long enough to know that it's easy to lose gratitude for what you do have when you're watching, you know, someone else that got the lake house or they're, you know, whatever, retired early or whatever the thing is. And what encouragement that is, yeah, you're going to see those things. But surround yourselves by people that are doing life the way you're doing it, not just in finances, really in all things, faith, all things, like it's a game changer. And so I think that's an important word. Okay. Number four.
A below category may be the key to sticking with your budget. And anytime I use the word below category, some people are very confused by that terminology. It's just what we've called it for years and years. Basically, it is our category in our budget that we get to spend it on whatever we want. And my husband has one and I have one. And so I think it's important that you don't just have one that you have together, especially if you are a spender who is married to a saver or a saver who is married to a spender. It's very important. When we were early married, we didn't have this at first. And I discovered my husband, who is more the spender in our relationship, he was just feeling really trapped. Like, we have to stick with this budget and we don't have any wiggle room and we can never do anything fun. I can never spend any money. I always need to run everything by her. We have to do everything together. And he just likes to, on a whim, be able to spend money. I'm sure some people listening can relate to that. And so the thought of a budget feels so restrictive, because you're like, I want to be able to just go spend money, you know, go get a coffee sometimes, or just go buy that treat for myself, or just buy something. And so a blow category has been so good for us, because we have a rule that you do not have to ask. So you can spend it on whatever you want, and there's no accountability with it. And I think for him, there's been just a lot of freedom with that. Sometimes he will actually save his for a number of months because there's something that he wants to buy that he knows I will kind of roll my eyes over. Yeah. But it's like, he can spend it on that. That is, it's his blow category to spend however he wants. And so that's been super, super helpful to our marriage, to just give us a lot more just joy in our marriage. And I think for people who, you know, that spending money actually brings them a lot of joy, for them to have this and so that they're not feeling so restricted by it. And I think also to recognize that a budget isn't this ball and chain sort of situation. It's actually freedom in boundaries, because you know that you have the money designated for all the areas. And so we budget for fun stuff. We budget for eating out. We budget for being able to give to other people. You know, we budget for all those things that we love to do and that bring joy and fulfillment, because that's important to us. And so a budget just is allowing you to put your priorities on paper for your money. And then it gives you that freedom within those boundaries to be able to use that money and spend that money. And then you don't have to feel bad if you're buying that pair of shoes, or like, I like to get my nails done. I don't have to feel badly about like, oh, if I do this, you know, that's gonna, how are we gonna, whatever. We have it budgeted. And so it's something that then I can enjoy it more.
I love that. And so, I mean, obviously that amount is going to change depending on your income. But like, what, like when you're thinking about that blow money, are you thinking like in terms of like $50 a week or $50 a month, or like, I mean, what is that generally? Like, what would you say to someone? Like, just give a little parameters around that.
Yes, I would say, you know, it really depends upon your budget. So like when my husband was in law school, we were like, our budget was about $1,000 a month. And so we had very, very small blow categories, but it was still like, I think it was $5 or $10 a person per month. So it was hardly anything, because we didn't have a lot of wiggle room, but it was still something. And then as our budget has increased, we've increased that. And so now, you know, it's a significant amount of money, but it's not like this huge amount of money that I'm, you know, he's not going to be able to go buy a car with it or something that, you know, but it's enough that it's like, for both of us, it allows us to just be able to do some fun stuff and to be able to bless others and then just have money that we can spend and splurge and not feel any sort of guilt or like it's going to cause a crimp in our budget in other areas.
Yeah, I think that's so helpful, because most marriages, there is the saver and the spender. And it's interesting, in our marriage, Mike is the spender, but that being said, he doesn't spend much. Like, he works a lot, and so he doesn't have time. But if you know, he doesn't have any, and he's very generous, like within our family. Like if I am like, oh man, whatever the thing is, you know, the random thing, he's like, I'll just go buy a new one. And so I spend more money because I do groceries and have the kids and all that with me all the time. Right. But in terms of just extra money. And so it is interesting. There's been times where I'm like, I don't ever feel like I can spend anything because I spend so much. I know every day what we're spending. So I like this idea of having this set aside and categorized and like, do what you want with it. Like, nobody's going to think twice. And so, yeah, I think that's a good word. We need to be doing that. Okay. Number five.
We are going to finish out with something that is a topic that is really near and dear to my heart, and that is gratitude reframes your perspective. I think that gratitude is really connected to contentment, and I really feel like these two pieces make such a difference when it comes to your finances. And we were talking about, you know, who you surround yourself with really matters, and you think about, if you also, when it comes to social media, when it comes to the media that you're consuming, if it's just constantly about you need more and bigger and better, and instead of encouraging you to appreciate what you already have. One of my friends years and years ago wrote this blog post. Her blog isn't even on the internet anymore, but she wrote this blog post. And I always will remember this phrase, someone else would love to be in your shoes. Someone else would love to have what you have. Mm. And so often we miss that. we're thinking of the next thing, you know, well, when we, whether it's when we get out of debt, whether it's when we save up for that, when we're able to buy that, when we get a bigger house, we get a better job, whatever it is that we're thinking to the next thing, like when we get this, when we've achieved this, then we're going to be happier, feel more fulfilled, or have more wiggle room, or have more breathing room in our life, or whatever it is. And what if we were to just focus on what we have right where we are, and that we say, if all I ever have is what I have today, is that enough? And can I be content right here? And I think it's great to dream and set goals and all of that, but I think to also appreciate and embrace right where you are, that is going to help you to have so much more financial success, because you're not always chasing after the next thing, but you're embracing what you have right where you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think going along with that, like gratitude in our house is also just being holding loosely to what we have, knowing it's not ours. And I think that leads me into this whole notion of giving too. And you know, we, if you know your Bible, and especially if you grew up in church, like you understand the concept of a tithe and giving 10% back to the Lord. Any best advice on just giving and generosity?
So that's something that's always been super important to us. And even when my husband's in law school and money was so tight, we just set that commitment that the tithe is going to come off first, even when we didn't know how the money was going to work. Like, it did not make sense on paper how we were going to pay all of our bills, but we still determined to tithe first, because it's really that mindset of everything that I have is yours, God, and I'm going to trust you with the 90%. And I can tell you that God has always been faithful. I can tell you story after story. Like, one time we got a $40 bill in the mail, not 40, it was two $20 bills. But it was just this like cash in the mail. We still to this day have no idea where it came from, but wow, it's met specifically a need that we had. Another time my husband, he ran his car into something and was going to, like, he had this big dent in his car and he was going to need to get it fixed. And we were like, how are we going to do this? I do not know what happened, but the dent literally popped back out. And his car, his car looked new. It was the weirdest thing. It was just like, God has been so faithful over and over and over and over again. We've just seen his faithfulness. And so I would say, like, it's that posture of our hearts to say, God, everything I have is yours. And that has really then, I think, kind of then gone into the life that we have now, where we have a lot more wiggle room in our budget, but it's like our home, you know, opening up our home. I mean, just, you know, caring, like with foster care, or with, we have lots of people into our home at all the time. You know, stuff is getting broken, banged into, beat up, whatever. It's just the nature of lots and lots of teenagers. And to, for us to just be like, this is God's house. Like, yeah, I am not holding tightly onto anything. And so that beat up hole in the wall, you know what? It's okay. Like, that shows, that's evidence of the life that is lived here. And it just helps me to hold things so much more loosely when I'm like, it's not mine in the first place. And so I can just trust God with this and be free to just generously open up my heart and my home and my wallet to other people, because God is going to be so faithful.
Oh, that's good. What sticks with me in there is, stop worrying about how I'm going to tithe the 10% or whatever that amount is you're going to give, and trust God with the 90%. That's just a reframe right there, which I really love. And the same thing, I think, with our house too. I think all the time of just how fortunate we are to be able to open it up and have people in all the time. And that's a way of tithing, like our possessions even, and being like, Lord, like whoever you want in the doors, like we're going to do this for you. And so that's an amazing word. Let me, you guys, everybody, let me read off the five again. And then I've got a couple other quick questions for you, Crystal. So here we go. Number one, your income is not the biggest issue. Your mindset is. Number two, your grocery budget is the best place to start saving money. Number three, who you surround yourself with matters. Number four, a blow category may be a key to staying on budget. And number five, gratitude reframes your perspective. Woo, those are so good, Crystal. Okay, I'm just going to throw out a word and I'm going to let you answer however you want to. Are you in favor? Are you not in favor? Yes, no, have strong opinions, don't care. Number one, here's our first word, Costco.
I do not have a membership, but I think it can be a great thing for people. I just find that it's such a big store and I much prefer Kroger, and I can pretty much beat all of the deals with Kroger digital coupons and sales.
Okay. Vacations.
We love vacations. We are very much prioritize memories and family together time. So that's something that we prioritize in our budget.
Yeah. Eating out.
We eat out once a week, and that's something that we budget for. And it's something that I look forward to because I don't have to do dishes or cook or think about food that day. It is amazing.
Yeah. Okay. And then this isn't really a word, but you guys, I can't say this enough and I'm going to link it all. You have to follow Money Saving Mom because I just am so taken by the deals. I don't even use them a lot of the times, but the things you have up there, but like, give us just a couple of examples. You can give a couple of examples you put up there. I've seen you throw up something on Old Navy, or there was something the other day. I can't even think of what it was. Was it a toy or something? I was like, well, I should buy 10 of those for the next 10 birthday parties because I always need like a present. But just give everybody like a little overview of what you do and some of the deals you throw up and that kind of thing.
Yeah. So I have been running MoneySavingMom.com since 2007. Wow. And really our heart is just to make it easy for you to save money. Like, we want you to be intentional with your finances. So we have lots of posts on there that are about ways that you can save money. And then also lots and lots of deals. And we really try to bring you the best deals. Like, all the time we are fighting with companies like, no, you can do better than that. Come on. What's the best deal you can give us? Can you give a free shipping code? You know, so we really want to bring you the very best deals on basically any place that you would shop for anything that you would buy. And so we try to focus mostly on things that are more like needs, but we also do some fun things that are wants. But we do lots of food and clothes and things like towels. And, you know, this time of year where people are thinking of summer things. And so we do lots of summer related things, whether it's activities outside or, you know, just a few days ago, we had a deal on a Sam's Club membership for $14. You could get a Sam's Club membership. And so lots of times there's great deals on Old Navy. And so we're just telling you the best deals that we find. We work with literally thousands of companies to bring you the best deals, and we sift through them. And so that you don't have to, and then you just know that these are going to be the best prices. And we track all the prices for years and years so that we know like what is the actual best deal. Because a lot of times, you know, these stores will be like, this is the best clearance. We're like, actually not. You had a better, you had a better one 3 months ago. And so we track all of that so we can bring you the best. And we also do some name brand stuff. Cause I know some families, especially when it comes to like shoes and purses and things like that, like, you want to have higher quality. And so we love it when we can find great deals on high quality stuff as well. But usually we're looking, you know, when it's like 40 to 80% off, that's when we're sharing the deal.
Yeah. Yeah. I even saw something recently on Instagram that you had about, I don't know if it was an article or a post or whatever, but talking about just ideas on sending kids to college, like debt-free, how do we do this? And I mean, just tips there. I'm like, wow, this is so helpful. So, okay. So we follow you on Instagram, Money Saving Mom. You have a podcast, same name. What else do we need to know?
Yeah. So I'm the Money Saving Mom on Instagram, actually, because story. Yes. Always get your name the first time. But yes, the Money Saving Mom. My podcast is called The Crystal Payne Show. I actually don't talk about money on there. And then the blog is moneysavingmom.com. And when you go to moneysavingmom.com, there's also options that you can sign up if you want to get, we have a hot deals email newsletter. So if you like to get things to your email, that you can sign up for that. And we're just going to send you the very best deals every single day. Usually no more than two emails, but it's usually just one email a day. And so just we try to provide it in all the different ways. So we are on Facebook, we also have an MSM deals account on Instagram that is just deals. And so we're just looking for how can we help you get the deals in the way that works for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. The Money Saving Mom. And then I should know the name of her podcast, you guys, because she was gracious enough to have me on her podcast, The Crystal Payne Show. And I can assure you she wasn't having me on to talk about saving money. So clearly she talks about all the other things, because I would not be the girl that can speak into that well, but I am encouraged today. And you gave some great practical thoughts. So thanks for doing this, Crystal.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, you guys, I think those were some really awesome tips. I really loved how she talked about that if your house is dinged up, banged up, all the things, doesn't look pristine, your couches are worn, whatever it is, like, it's evidence of the life that is lived here. And I thought about that a lot today, as a lot of people were in my house making sack lunches for the food bank, and my house is weathered from so many people being in and out of it over the years. And I just love that. Think about that. Instead of obsessing over the things that aren't right in our house or things we'd like to redo or whatever, like, it's evidence of the life that is lived in our homes. And I'm grateful for that. Thanks for that word, Crystal Payne. Be sure and check her out, The Money Saving Mom. Will you share this podcast with someone, pretty please? Continue helping us get the word out about Mesmerize. And then also leave a review. You guys, I'm so grateful for you. Thanks for doing this journey with me. You're the very best.
If you're looking for legit ways to make extra money, you've got to check out The Side Hustle Show. With hundreds of actionable episodes to choose from, you'll learn what's working now from real people making real money. Like the Utah mom who built a six-figure business playing video games, or the guy earning $3,000 a month renting out mobility scooters. Online or offline, from Amazon to your own hometown, from YouTube to vending machines, The Side Hustle Show has you and your wallet covered. Subscribe to The Side Hustle Show wherever you're listening to this podcast and increase your earning power today.